God, for each of you on the call, we're grateful for this is indeed another day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Here it is, the 28th day of April, and I tell you, April is getting ready to leave here. Give us a signal, let us know that you're getting a good sound tonight.
I didn't get that.
I'm doing solo myself tonight. Lady Kim is not feeling well. We want to lift her up in prayer as we prepare for this time together. But we're certainly grateful for all that God has done, all that he's doing, and all that he will do. And we know that his promises are sure, and his satisfaction is yet guaranteed. Let us know you're getting a good signal as we prepare for this time together. On last week, we started talking in the 11th and the 12th chapter, and we kind of got diffused by this 12th chapter. The power or the internet, the Wi-Fi connection went out on us, and we didn't get a chance to finish it. So we're in 2 Chronicles tonight, the 12th chapter, and we'll see if we can get into that 13th chapter if we have enough time, but we're certainly grateful. Someone let us know that you're getting a clear signal and that everything is coming through fine. All right, I'm getting a message here. Okay, all right, and we're lifting up Lady Kim here tonight. And we praise God for each of you who are going to be a part of this time together tonight. 2 Chronicles, the 12th chapter. And hopefully we'll get into portions of that 13th chapter. But before we begin, let us go to God in prayer as we prepare for this time together tonight. Father, we're extremely grateful for this day, and we do thank you for our lives. We thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence. And we realize and we're confident in the fact that in you we do live, move, and have our being. We pray your choicest blessing to be upon us as we engage in this study tonight. And God, we ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. We love you and we honor you. And we thank you for being our God. We lift up Lady Kim before you tonight. Even before we get to the other prayer requests, we pray, dear Lord, that you would just move in a mighty way, that you will heal and deliver and set free. We know you as a healer and a deliverer, and we know that all power is within your hands, and there's absolutely nothing too hard for you. So even a migraine has to come to a standstill when we call on your name. You have given us a name that's above every other name. And so at that name, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that you are Lord. So we love you, we honor you, and we decree and declare that we shall be healed, we shall be whole, and we shall win the day in spite of what we're going through, in spite of our transgressions, in spite of our faults and our failures. We decree that we shall indeed be victorious. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, and praise God. Somebody give God a couple of thumbs up there. Let us know that you're praying with us, and we're praying for you as well as we prepare for this time together tonight. Well, on yesterday, of course, we continued in our series as it relates to Win the Day. Yeah, Win the Day. That's our summer series for this summer, and summer's got a couple more weeks in it, so we'll see how the Lord leads us as we make our way to the end of summer. But Win the Day, hold on, I see a win. Hold on, I see a win. And we were looking at that passage in Genesis, the 32nd chapter, in verse number 30 from the NIV version. It says, so Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. Wow. So the whole narrative around Jacob, it doesn't just start there. But it goes all the way back, and we gave a little brief update about what happened between he and his brother Esau, and how, Jacob was a swindler. He was a hustler. He hustled his brother out of his birthright. And as a result, it put the whole relationship that they had in a tailspin, if you will. And Jacob was able to convince his mother to go along with this whole scheme. And I tell you, Esau was so upset. He was ready to kill his brother because dad was on his deathbed and he was getting ready to bless his eldest son. And Jacob swindled Esau out of his blessing, out of his birthright. And as a result, it could put them at odds against each other. And it was over a period of time that they continued to try to figure out how the one was going to get the other, how the other had to stay away from the other. But what we found out here is that Jacob is really going through a very difficult time. He's had some heartaches, some miseries, and some pain. Things are not going according to what he thought they would. And as a result, he's on the run because Esau is getting ready to take him out. And so we find him, even as he gets into this 32nd chapter, that he's struggling with, they call him a man at first, and he's wrestling with him at night. And he kept wrestling throughout the night until the day begins to break. And the story goes that the man said, "Let me go." And Jacob said, "I will not let you go until you bless me." In other words, "I will not let you go until I get a win." And Jacob said, so Jacob called the name of that place, the place where he wrestled, the place where he struggled, the place where he was holding on tight to this man that he wrestled with. He found out later that it was God. And he said, "I will not let you go until you bless me." And so it is with us. I mean, many times we allow the drama of life, the trials of life, the difficulties and the disappointments of life to throw us in a tailspin, if you will, and have us at odds against even our family members. And if the truth be told tonight, there are perhaps some family members who are even on this particular Bible study who are at odds with each other. And it probably was not as deep as the relationship was with Esau and Jacob. But many, many times families are at odds for just some little things. And it could be over a property. It could be over a will that was left and not favorable to one of the siblings or the other. It could be that some things happen in their past that they have not been able to overcome. But we find that even in this particular story with Jacob and Esau, that they were able to come to some kind of, conclusion of the matter. And just as Jacob was getting ready to get up from after God had dealt with him that night, the Bible lets us know that he eventually met his brother and he fell down and he came to his brother in a humble way and asked that he would forgive him. And he thought Jacob was going to kill him. That Esau was going to kill him. And as a result, the Bible says that Esau embraced him and told him, "No, all is well." But all the stories that we see have drama throughout the Bible. And we know that the Bible is a book about relationships. The God we serve is a God of relationships. And each of us, we are in relationships, whether you is not might not be an intimate situation. It might not be a husband and wife or spouse relationship. It might be a family. It might even be something on your job. It might be just some friendships that are relationships. Most relationships start out as friendships. And so all of us, we have to deal with relationships whether we want to or not. It could be on your job. It could be even in the church. We all have to deal with various kinds of relationships. And so as a result of Jacob wrestling with God, he said, "God, I will not let you go until you bless me." It was in the twilight of the night. It was a struggle that he was going through as he was trying to make sense of his own drama. And he felt something a little different about this struggle. I mean, Jacob had some struggles before. Jacob had been in some hard places before. Just like many of us, we have been in difficult places. We have been in hard places. But sometimes when God gets a hold of us in the midst of what we're going through and he holds on to us to the point where we have to surrender, you know, back in the day, we would call it calling uncle. But you have to surrender to God and say, "God, I can't do this thing by myself. I've tried everything that I could. I can't make it by myself. I can't achieve what I'm trying to achieve in and of myself." For the Bible tells us that it's not by might nor is it by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord, that I'll bring things to pass. And so we have to humbly submit ourselves to God even when we're faced with situations that we don't completely understand, even when it looks like the drama that we're in is not going to end favorably in on our behalf, we have to still start with an attitude of surrender. And I think that's where Jacob began to get his release, because as you know, as we talked about the points that we lifted up on yesterday, God gave him a new name. He changed his name. He changed his nature. He changed his identity, and he changed his destiny. But here it is, Jacob, after that encounter, he left with a limp, and he had to limp the rest of his life. And it was a reminder of the fact that God had delivered, God had brought him, God had changed his name. His name was no longer Jacob, but it was called Israel. God gave him a new nature. And when God gives us a new nature, when God gives us a new name, when God changes our names, then the nature is an inside job. That's what we were talking about yesterday. It's not something that happens from the outside in, but it's something that happens from the inside out. And so we have to be clear that once we surrender to God, that God will do a work on the inside of us. That's why the Bible would decree that greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world. When God does something on the inside of us, then we know that no weapon that's formed against us shall be able to prosper. I'm preaching a little bit better than y'all saying amen tonight. But this is what happened to Jacob, and this is what happens to us. And many times we go through the motions and we end up missing the master. We find ourselves in situations that feel a little different, feel a little unique, feel a little odd, if you will. But God is trying to get our attention. God is trying to do something new. God is trying to change your name. I'm here to decree and declare tonight that God wants to change your name. And when God changes your name, when you see him face to face in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your wrestling, it might not be as severe as it was with Jacob. God will change your name and God will give you a new nature. He will work on the inside of you. Some of us are so stubborn and so stuck in our ways until many times we think we can do it all by ourselves. But need I remind you tonight that it makes no difference what you have achieved in this world. What God does for you is only what God can do for you. You might have all the degrees on the wall. You might have all of the fineries of life. You might drive the best of vehicles. You might live in the most expensive house in your area. But if it doesn't happen on the inside, somebody type inside. It's an inside job. And if God doesn't do it on the inside of you, you'll still be miserable. You'll be rich and miserable. And don't you want to be happy? Because the word of the Lord says, beloved, above all things, here it is. This is 1 John. I wish that thou would prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. And so you want God to do a work in you so that you can enjoy what the blessings that he's given to you. And that way you can say, just like Jacob said in Genesis, this 32nd chapter in verse number 30, Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face and yet spared my life. So I tell you, when that's almost like going back to that place where God changed you, going back to that place where you first met the Lord. You remember that? You remember how God changed your walk and he changed your identity? You were saying some things back in the day, but now you're a new person. You're a new creature in Christ. Your nature has changed. None of us are perfect. Now, don't get me wrong, because all have sinned, am I right, and fallen short of the glory of God. And so God has to shape us. God has to do something inside of us in order for us to mature and grow and be all that he would have us to be. Because once he changed your name, once he changes that nature, he'll give you a new identity. Somebody say amen. If any man be in Christ, Dr. Qualise preached about it last week. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, new creation. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. And Paul would decree, this one thing I do. He said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So I've got my mind set. I got my eyes focused, and I'm determined to do what God has called me to do. I'm not going to let situations or trials or, yes, even tribulations hinder or prevent me from being that person that God has called me to be. And so when God changes your name, he changes your nature, he changes your identity, and then he'll change your destiny. He'll give you a new direction. Somebody ought to say amen. And so that's what we need. I mean, God bless us tonight. We need God to really put us on the right path of understanding our call, understanding our purpose, understanding our mission. And many times we don't get a chance to understand that is because we're so wrapped up and tied up in ourselves. And we think that once God blesses us a little bit, that we can take it all the way, the rest of the way in. But no, we got to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts, lean not into our own understanding, and in all of our ways, not just some of our ways, but in all of our ways, acknowledge him. That's a part of that whole surrender by acknowledging God. God, I acknowledge you. God, I bless you. God, I honor you. God, I know I'm nothing without you. That's all a part of surrendering. God, I present my body as a living sacrifice. That's what Paul said. Holy and acceptable unto you, which is a reasonable service. And being not conformed to this world. See, the world so often tries to keep us living in our old nature, in our old past, in the things that we used to do, the places that we used to go. But once God gets a hold of you, you know, it's going to change your identity. It's going to change your destiny. It's going to change your direction. And God will change your name. And so that was a powerful word for me. It was a testimony at the end there about my limp, and you know, many people got a little kick out of that, but God didn't do it. But I told the story about my first surgery that I had, my hip replacement back in 2006, and I tell you, you know, the technology has changed so drastically since then, but I walk with this limp. Some of y'all, as I said yesterday, think that's my cool walk, but I walk with this limp because I have this bone spur right in the middle of where they put the artificial limb, you know, when they put that hip replacement in, they had to cut all of that old bone and all of that old, they had to cut through all of that and take all of that out and put this device in there. But here's what happens, your body starts to try to regenerate, and all of those tissues, all of the muscles, all of those bones, they just try to automatically come back and align themselves. Isn't that amazing how God has so intricately designed our bodies to all of those tissues and all of the bones and all of the information and that's inside of us. It's gravitating toward each other and trying to get back to its original place. And so it was with this hip replacement. I had a bone spur. It was a bone about as big as my thumb that tried to grow back in the place where they had put that hip replacement material in me. And it caused me to have a little jerk in my walk, and then it would not flex my hip bone all the way because that thing was just kind of like right in the middle of what it was, how my body was supposed to function with the new hip that I had. And so it ended up, after I went back to the doctors, and as I told y'all on yesterday, I'm not going to go through the whole sermon, how the doctor said, no, we don't think that you need to do anything about that. You're going to have to limp for the rest of your life. And even if you did try to do it, we can't guarantee that it won't grow back again. And at the rate that you are now in the age, you know, it'd be probably more harmful to you than it would be good for you. And so as a result of that, we just continue to move forward with what we have. And just like Jacob, we're going to limp on in, and we're going to continue to limp and give God the praise, the honor, and all of the glory. We're not going to let that stop us. Even God didn't do that. Now, don't get it twisted. It's a reminder of how far God has brought me. And so I can imagine that even with Jacob, that he had a constant reminder with the limp that he had from that wrestling match, because the angel of God knocked his hip bone out of socket. And as a result, he walked with a limp for the rest of his life. But we're going to continue this series on this Sunday, if the Lord says so. And we've been praying and meditating all day. And then we had some thoughts yesterday about what God would have for us. And I hope y'all enjoying this little series and that you're gathering some insight from it. As a matter of fact, I'm being challenged and encouraged by this series myself and the comments that I'm getting to perhaps even do a book or write a book about these sermons that I've been preaching. And we praise God for that. And so we're going to see what the Lord has to say about that. All right. Well, we're in 2 Chronicles. I'm not able to see your comments. I'm going to see my phone is dying out. I'm going to see if I can pull it up where I can see if there are any comments as we're moving through tonight. But we're in 2 Chronicles, the 12th chapter. And we're going to move through there tonight. Let me turn this down a little bit and see if I see any comments or any remarks. I don't see anything right now, but I praise God for each of you on the call. Those of you who are just joining us, of course, as we indicated, Lady Kim is not feeling well, and those of you who know her, she has these migraines that put her down, and we hope that and pray that she will regain her strength. Has a lot going on right now, full-time at job, on a job, full-time in school, and trying to finish up as she prepares for graduation on next year. Somebody say next year. That's right. It will be over soon, but we praise God for what God is doing in the midst of everything that we're going through. And so Romans 8 and 28 says, you know, all things, not just the good things, but all things are working together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. And so that means that everything that happens in life is not just us separating the good from the bad, but everything that happens, even those times where we think that God is trying to drown us, really, he's trying to teach us how to swim. And many times we think that God is misusing us or bruising us. He's trying to help us get to where he would have us to be, so that our only plea might be, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I'm just the clay. Why don't you mold me and make me after thy will while I'm yet yielded, waiting, and still? And so many times, Sister Carolyn, it takes a lot of pain and a lot of anxiety. It takes a lot of disappointment in order to make everything work together for good. And so that's a word for somebody tonight, because you feel as if you're broken and you feel as if you're doing the very best that you can, and you still find yourself in a situation where it doesn't look favorable for you. It doesn't look like it's going to turn out for your good. But God is not like man that he should lie. And he has promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. And here it is. If God said he would do a thing, then guess what? It shall come to pass. So I want to encourage you tonight, if you're in the face of struggles, or if you're in the face of a trial or a tribulation that's weighing you down, I want to encourage you tonight to hold on, just as we talked about on yesterday. Hold on, because I see a win in your future. Somebody say amen. Somebody type that in. I see a win in your future, because we can't grow weary right through here in well-doing. So continue to do what you do. Continue to trust the timing of God. Nobody can stop me from singing tonight. He is indeed an on-time God. Yes, he is. Somebody say, yes, he is. Well, let's see if we can do a little recap here tonight. And my sidekick is not with me, but this 11th chapter really set the tone for this 12th chapter. We know that this is a situation where Rehoboam, he has taken on the leadership, and he and Jeroboam, they are at odds with each other. And we know that one of the things that happened is that there was a split here. There was a split between the two kingdoms. And so Rehoboam and then Jeroboam each had their own turf, if you will, or territories. And so part of what happens in this 11th chapter is that we see that Rehoboam is developing his, let's see if I can find it, here it is. It's the reign of Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. And he's at odds with his, I believe it was his brother, and he was in the process of trying to establish himself. And he went against all of the things, not so much all of the things, but a lot of the wise counsel and a lot of the wise advice that his dad had left him. And Rehoboam, he was right there in the midst of seeing how Solomon was able to control and see how Solomon was able to make decisions. And once he took on the reins, then dysfunctional leadership began to emerge. And as a result of that, he made some unwise decisions. And there was a split in the nation of Israel. And, you know, many times when people are so hungry and thirsty for power, things will go unfavorable before them because they don't listen to sound advice. They don't follow wise counsel, and they lack the decision-making processes start to break down. And so even though this happened back then, the same thing is true even today. Sometimes you have people who feel as if, can't nobody tell me nothing. I can do this better than they did. I don't know why they're fumbling and bumbling, and they won't listen to their elders. They won't listen to the older people in their lives. They have no mentors in their life, and they feel that the circle that they have grown up with, that they can make the kind of wise decisions that will carry them further than those who have gone before them. But no, we cannot. Hear me clearly. We cannot cut off our elders or the wise counsel, because somebody had to pray for us. You know, we are who we are because of those who prayed for us to get to where we are. And how dare we get to a place where we don't honor or respect what we have learned from our ancestors and from our parents and from our great grandparents. But sometimes this new generation, they get to the point where they don't need a sounding board from those who are older than them. They want to try to show them up, if you will, or shine, you know, and let them know that we don't, that the older people don't know what we're talking about. I can say that because I'm one of them. Come on, somebody say amen. But I want to encourage you tonight, if you're in a place where you're trying to lead, or you're in a place where you're trying to take the reins of someone who has gone before you, and they are probably retiring or at the point where it looks like they don't know what they're doing, you have to still seek wise counsel and advice. And you have to still trust that wisdom, because, man, if you haven't experienced it and somebody has gone through it and they could tell you, just like your parents were, it's the same kind of situation when, you know, you were at home and your parents would try to tell you, but you had to go and do it for yourself in order to understand that they were right. And many times it's not they are not the ones who gets the credit, but if somebody else will come along and say the same thing that the people in your life were trying to tell you what and what not to do, and then somebody else comes along and says it a little different, and you say, oh, okay, I see now what Dad was talking about. I see now what Mama was trying to tell me. And so we learn the lessons many times the hard way. And so it was here with in our text where we're talking about Rehoboam and the fact that he did not follow wise counsel, and how he was on hungry for power, and how he thought that he can do it, and he had his little, you know, entourage around him that was pushing him on, and all of them were the same age, and they would not want to follow the wise advice of those whom Solomon had left with Rehoboam in order to that he might succeed and be successful. And so that's just a word for somebody tonight. But even as that's kind of getting us ready for this 12th chapter, because this 12th chapter really talks about the chastening or the chastisement of Rehoboam and Judah, and how we already indicated that Rehoboam, he was the son of Solomon, and he was the one who took on the reins. But it was some interesting things that happened here. It came to pass in verse number 1, when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all of Israel with him. And so that's a clear indication right there in terms of how he was going against what he had been brought up with. And he decided that he wanted to grow into his own independence and do things his way. And the worst part about Rehoboam's sin was that it led the entire kingdom into sin with him. And so you have to be careful about that, particularly if you're in leadership position, how if you don't make wise decisions and prayerful decisions. You know, I learned early on in my ministry that whenever I make decisions, they have to come out of an incubator of prayer and even fasting. Because many times people can't see the vision that God has given you. But when you are clear before you even present what God has given you, and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was God speaking to you, then it gives you more confidence when you get ready to present it to the people. And if God be for us, here it is, then who can be against us? And many times when people don't get their way, that's when all of the drama starts. But it came to pass in verse number 2 of this 12th chapter that it was in the fifth year of Rehoboam's reign. Then it was a king that came in from Egypt. He came up against Jerusalem because they had transgressed against the Lord. And so this king came in and he did havoc with Rehoboam, and he caused a whole lot of confusion, and he began to take the things that belonged to Solomon and even the things that Solomon had left his son Rehoboam. The Bible says in that third verse that with 1,200 chariots and 70,000 horsemen, the people were without number that came with him out of Egypt. Talking about this king who came up against Rehoboam. And so he took the fenced cities which pertained to Judah, and he came to Jerusalem, and he began to do havoc to the prophet Rehoboam and to the princes of Judah. And they were gathered all together in Jerusalem because Shechem, and he said unto them, thus said the Lord, ye have forsaken me, and therefore I also left you in the hands of this ungodly person, on this ungodly king. And so when we turn our backs on God, He allows some things to happen so that we can understand that we have to stay obedient to what God is telling us to do. Because once we get into the thing that God has called us into, we can't just stop doing what is required of us after we feel that we've won a few victories, after we think that we've overcome a few obstacles. But we have to continue to maintain consistency in the things of God, because God will let you go down that path and bump your head a couple of times for you to understand that you have to turn yourself back to God and you have to get back on the right track. And so here it is in verse number 6. We're in 2 Chronicles, the 12th chapter. That it talks about how upon the princesses of Israel and the kings humbled themselves and said, the Lord is righteous. And when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shechemiah, saying, they have humbled themselves, therefore I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance, and my wrath shall not be poured out upon Jerusalem by the hand of this king. And so it has to be a situation that we, like we talked about earlier, where we recognize and we understand that we have to humbly submit ourselves and we have to yield our way to God's way, and we have to surrender our will. Because if not, we're going to continue to go down this this treacherous road that only leads to disaster. And so many people, they don't understand this until it's almost too late. And sometimes they don't get the message until it is too late. But if we understand clearly that if God has prepared us, if God has brought us, if God has blessed us, then we have to continue to maintain a consistency in the things of God and continue to mature in the things that God has given us so that we might develop. And I'm of a firm belief that if we start with God, if we stay with God and finish with God, then we're going to be in a great place. I say, if we start with God, if we stay with God and we finish with God, we're going to be in a great place. But once we get the big head, once we feel that we don't need wise counsel, once we feel that we can make it by ourselves, God will put us in a position that will cause us to humble ourselves even before someone who is not as rich in the things of God as we are, to teach us a lesson. And sometimes God teaches us lessons in different ways. But Rehoboam, he strengthened himself in verse number 13, the Bible says, and his reign for Rehoboam. And the reign for Rehoboam was 40 years old when he began, 140 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 17 years in Jerusalem. And so Rehoboam, he survived this threat of the king, and he reigned until his natural death. That's what it's trying to get us to see. He was 41 when he began his reign, and 17 years in Jerusalem, the city of the Lord. He chose out of all of the tribes of Israel, putting his name there. And so God began to deal with him in a different way after he came in repentance and an attitude of surrender. And verse number 14 says, and he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. You see, evil was really the root of Rehoboam's problem, having an even less relationship with God than his father Solomon. And so even though he was brought up and he saw his dad and he observed all of the things that his dad had done in order for him to be successful, he found himself in a situation where he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. And so we have to seek the Lord early. We have to call upon him while he's yet near. And we have to continue to be in proper relationship with him throughout our lives, because once we start going this way and once we start going the other way, we're headed for major trouble. And so it says that now, verse number 15, it says, now the acts of Rehoboam, first and last, are not written in the book of Shelemiah, the prophet, and Iddo, the seer, concerning genealogies. And so there was a big gap there between what had happened from the very beginning of Rehoboam's reign all the way to the end. In verse number 16, of course, we see what happens to Rehoboam. It says, and Rehoboam slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And his son, Rehoboam's son, Abijah, he began to reign in his stead. And so this was a very powerful lesson. This was a very powerful illustration, because we know that Rehoboam started out with good intentions and he wanted to be just as successful as his dad was, but he listened to ill advice. He did not follow wise counsel. We saw that some of the dysfunction that he had in terms of his leadership began to surface. And so if we want to pull some handles or a lesson from this particular chapter, I think part of it would have to do with when we are unfaithful and disobedient to God, he desires us to humble ourselves. And so we have to draw nigh to God, and we have to seek his face right early. we have to be in proper relationship with him throughout our calling and throughout our ministries. And we can't just put on one thing on a Sunday and then we act a different way throughout the week. But we have to continue to be consistent, and we have to continue to seek God's grace and not be unfaithful and disobedient in the things that God has called for us to do. And the truth be told, even as we reminisce, even in our own lives, some of us can attest to the fact that once you got off track and once you stopped being faithful to the things of God, that's when most of the drama began to occur in your life. And so even though you might find yourself in a situation when you're faithful and when you're obedient and when you're trusting God, that does not exempt you from going through trials and tribulations. And sometimes people get to a place when they go through something, they feel it's better for them to go back to where they were than to continue to go through this, because they feel that the sacrifices they've already made up until this point should somehow compensate for, them not having to go through any trials or tribulations. But it doesn't happen like that. The best of us are experiencing tribulations in our lives. And James says, count it all joy. Not if you go through trials and tribulation, but when you go through trials and tribulation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith is what worketh patience. God somehow puts us on observation, if you will, and he observes us from a distance just to see if we're really who we say we are. And many times it happens in that incubator where we go through a little mess, but God is not taking his hand off of us, but he's watching us and observing to see how we are going to handle that situation and see if we really mature like we say we have. And so James says, it's the trying of your faith that worketh patience. And then he goes on to say, let patience have a perfect work, that we might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So patience has to have a perfect work. That means you got to go through it in order to get to it. Somebody say amen. And so God, he wants us to go through what we have to go through so that our faith might increase and that our maturity level might be reinforced. And that if we say we are somebody, and then when a tribulation comes or when something unfavorable falls upon us, we want to turn back, then that says a lot about who you say you are and what you say you believe. But God wants to know, can he trust you? And as I say oftentimes, a faith that's not tested is one that cannot be trusted. And so many times, hear me tonight, and I'm getting ready to close. Many times, we don't want to go through nothing. We don't want to see a trial. We don't want to see a tribulation. Pastor, I don't want to see nothing but a flowery bed of roses. I want to see a straight and narrow. I don't want any bumps in the road. No, it's not going to happen. So somebody's going through something right now, and you're about to turn back on God. And really, those who turn back on God, they never, well, I won't say they never, but most of the time they don't get back on track. They keep on going down that old road and thinking that that's where their life is going to really give them the success that they need based upon, watch this now, based upon the things of this world. That's why Romans tells us to be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by what? The renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so that's the least that we can do, is to present our bodies as living sacrifices. And so even as we close out tonight, Rehoboam was unfaithful to the Lord. And so the Lord allowed this king to come in and attack Jerusalem. And as a result, Rehoboam humbled himself, and the anger of the Lord turned away from him, because he recognized that he was at fault and that he was not living up to, he was living beneath the standard and the privileges that God had set in place for him. And he had an eye for power and ambition and thought that he can do it by his own power and by his own strength. But it doesn't work that way. And so once we continue to be consistent with God, once we continue to humble ourselves, even when we think that we've reached a place of maturity, you know, when you stop learning, then that's when you stop dying. When you stop trying to seek additional information, and that's why I praise God for my wife. She's continuing to soak in all of this knowledge. She's going to school at a late age, and many times it gets a little difficult for some people in the older stages of life. But I praise God for her witness and for her testimony and for her burning and also for the learning. You know, many times we just want burning, but we don't want any learning. Come on, somebody help me tonight. And so we want all of the spectacular, but we don't want to get in and study that word and to show ourselves approved unto God. We don't want to go to that advanced level of continuing to seek the face of God and continue to get additional knowledge. And so we can't stop. We can't retire. You know, we can't rust out. We have to wear out. Come on, somebody help me tonight. And so I praise God for each of you. And I'm certainly grateful for those of you who are on tonight. And I thank God for how he's continued to bless us, even in spite of ourselves. I'm going to stop here tonight, and then we'll pick up with chapter 13 on next week. And I want to encourage you to read 2 Chronicles chapter 13 for next week. But let me see. Do I have any prayer requests? I'm trying to read this thread and, you know, follow my little script and everything. And I don't have my better half. That's what y'all wanted me to say, right? My better half with me. So, but we praise God for each of you. Look, don't forget now, we're getting ready to start back up with our Institute for Leadership Training. Dr. Qualise is on, I see. It's good to see you and good to know that you're back in the city. She was out this past weekend. But we're starting back with our Institute for Leadership Training. Dr. Butler's coming in to talk about discipleship. And I tell you, this is awesome. And those of you who are going through, I want to encourage you to continue to be steadfast in going through this process. Because once we finish this institute, then we're going to also go back and look at our gift inventory and assessment. And then we're going to start placing people in strategic places that there are some voids in the ministry of ATOP. And you will have the clear understanding of what is expected, what is required, and how things function at Anointed Temple of Praise. Now, many times we bring a lot of different experiences to the table, but we still have to yield ourselves to the house that we're in. Y'all hear what I'm saying? And we can't just come in and try to bombard the leadership with what we know without understanding what is required of you. And so that's what part of what this institute is all about. But it's also equipping new leaders to catch the vision. And then we are praying that God will give them the direction based upon what they see in their gift assessment, that they will feel God leading them to be a part of, maybe even perhaps leading one of those ministries. And so if God speaks to you and God shares that with you, then it's going to be confirmation, because we're going to do kingdom confirmation interviews at the end. It will be confirmation that others will see that that's what God is calling you to as well. And it won't be that you just operated in a silo, if you will, without anyone else confirming that, or somebody else perhaps has already spoken that into your spirit, that this is where you need to be and this is what you need to be doing. And so we're in the process of growing leaders. And I tell you, the kingdom suffereth violence, but the violence we have to take by force. And so the harvest is still plentiful. Y'all hear me tonight? But the laborers are few. And see, once you get this whole thing underneath you and it gets behind you, then you'll be ready. You'll be charged to go ahead and take your rightful place in the body of Christ. And, you know, one of the things about those of us who sit on the sidelines and we kind of do that Monday morning quarterbacking and all of that, we if we get in the game, then it'll be less of that happening in our lives, because we'll be one of the ones who will be out there on the field trying to make something happen on behalf of the team. Y'all follow what I'm saying? And so we have to make sure that once God has given you a gift, once God has called you to a place, once God has put you in a space, then you have to step up and you have to acknowledge that and you have to fill in the gap. Because really, if you don't do all that you're supposed to do, then we're not going to be all we're supposed to be. It's like that whole analogy of the human body. And I was talking a little bit about that with how all of those ligaments and all of the bones and all of that tried to grow back in my, where they had taken my hip out. You know, if you don't do your part, then it's a void in the body. And so all of us have a role to play. All of us have a gift that we bring to the table. All of us, God has called to do something in order to help perpetuate the kingdom of God and help more souls to come in out of darkness into the marvelous light. And so we can't be all that God has called us to be until you be all that God has called you to be. And when you're all that God has called us to you to be, then he equips all of us to be even better at what he's calling all of us to be. Y'all hear what I'm saying? And so I want to encourage you to hang on in there. Hold on. I see a win in your future. Don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due season, you're going to reap if you faint not. And God's going to do something powerful and marvelous in your life. It'll be a tragedy for you to not continue to finish this process. And then you look back 2 years from now and you said, dog, if I had just went on and endured, then I could be further along in my walk with the Lord. And the church would be at a different place in a different space, because all of us have decided that we're going to do our part in the kingdom. That's why I get so excited about, just like yesterday, man, I tell you, it just does my heart good to see how the volunteers are catching this vision about this outreach ministry and the feeding program, and how they're energized and how they're excited and how people are just stepping up. And I tell you, God has blessed us tremendously with some powerful leaders and teachers and preachers of the gospel. And so it ought not be a thing of competition or intimidation, but it ought to be about all of us working together for the good of the body and using our gifts to grow the kingdom and not get into this whole thing about trying to, you know, look at somebody and trying to, you know, go through that whole process of trying to analyze, you know, and get into that whole thing about, you know, competition and all of that. That's not what God is not pleased with that. God does not honor that. But when he see your gift and my gift complementing each other and us all staying in our lanes and doing our parts, then the kingdom will grow. Just like Sunday at church, it you know, family came down for prayer and probably was their first time there. But I tell you, it was powerful, because we have to surround people and we have to treat them with the love of God when they come into ATOP. And I talked to the father after service as he was getting ready to head out. And he said so much how much he enjoyed and how much he appreciated the fact that we took time out to really pray for his I think it was his grandson and the family that came with him, and how he would be coming back and how he really enjoyed himself. And so he felt the love of God, and he felt welcomed in the place. And I just got a report yesterday, and this had nothing to do with ATOP, but some people had gone to a church, and they called me and they told me, they said, I tell you, man, these people, they didn't even know who the pastor was. The people treated them so strange, people treated them so rough till they were ready to leave. They were there on assignment to do a work, and the people treated them like strangers. But I decree and I declare even tonight that it won't happen at ATOP. Somebody say, man, we got some loving people, and we got some genuine people and some serious people about kingdom work. And I tell you, it's going to even get better because God is going to continue to do a great work in all of our lives. And we're going to catch this day. We're going to get this vision. We're going to win the day. Somebody say, I'm going to win the day. Come on, somebody type that in. I'm going to win the day, Pastor. I'm not going to go weary. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to throw in the towel. But I'm going to be like Jacob. I feel a Jacob spirit in the house. I'm going to be like Jacob. And I'm going to hold on until I see him. And I will not let you go, God. Come on, somebody help me. I will not let you go until I get my win. Until you bless me. That's what that blessing was all about. It was about helping Jacob to win the day. He won the day after that, didn't he? And so we praise God for each of you. We want you to continue to pray for our Institute for Leadership Training. Dr. Butler is already ready. She's ready and raring to go, already prepared. And it's going to be a great time on this next module on discipleship. And we're looking forward to that this Thursday at 6 p.m. Also, let me say this as I close out. We're in the process of interviewing for our youth director's position. God has favored us tremendously at ATOP. And so we went through a national search and we've narrowed our focus. And so we're continuing to be prayerful we can fast and pray through this process that God will send us the right person that will help fill that void in terms of our youth and young adult ministry. For it was called the youth pastor's position, but we changed the title of that position to youth director in order for it to give us a broader stroke of capturing some people with different kinds of gifts. And we're kind of getting ready to look and see, and you'll be hearing more about this in the days and the weeks to come as we move through this process. But we need you praying with us as we're trying to discern the voice of God and seeking his face in this. All right, well, let's close out with prayer. The hour's upon us. Thank y'all so much for tolerating me by myself tonight. And don't forget now, we're praying for Lady Kim's strength, and we're praying that she recovers. And we pray that each of you will have a great evening and that you will continue to win the day and know that God has not forsaken, he's not forgotten about you. He said, I would never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'll be with you always, even until the end. And we can always count on God. And so I want to tell you tonight to hold on until you see your win. Hold on until you see him. If you don't give up, God will show up. And if he doesn't show up, he'll send two angels, one called goodness and another called mercy. Yes, surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time that you've afforded us to come together around your word. And we pray to the Lord that you will continue to strengthen us where we're weak and build us up where we're torn down. We thank you, dear Lord, that your word is true and your promises are sure and your satisfaction is guaranteed. And we know that your word will not return unto you void. And we know as a result of us hearing your word that our faith is going to increase. So bless now each hearer and each doer of your word that we might continue to bring glory and honor to your name. We ask for a special prayer for our First Lady and for all of those who are going through various situations and difficulties and transitions and sicknesses and different kinds of things and drama in their lives. Help them to be like Jacob, even though he wrestled with you, to hold on until their change comes. So we love you and we honor you, and we thank you now for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, until next time, be blessed.